This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
We're back live for the first time in 3 weeks, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, still in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 19th, episode 2250, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us again. And if you're joining us live, welcome back. We're here. We made
it. Welcome back. You welcome back. It's welcome back to you. I've been here. Yeah, where you been?
True. Well, we haven't been live, though. First one in a while. I got my brand new computer set up, so it looks like we're working. If anybody listening live wants to Facebook me and say, okay, it's working, let me know.
Are we here? Is anybody listening?
No, I have no idea at this point. So it appears to be working. And you know what's amazing? I set up this new computer, hooked everything up. This is why I'm concerned. There were no problems. I didn't swear
stop,
at
don't
it.
Don't say that. You didn't hit it or anything?
No, I didn't swear at it or nothing. So I don't know. It probably isn't working. That's what I... So if you're hearing this, let me know.
If you're out there... Please, let us know.
I think they've forgotten that they can even listen live. It's been so long. Well, it's good to be back. We're going to have a full week together this week.
Well, sounds fantastic. Yeah, the greatest thing ever in the whole wide world happens tomorrow. And I had a long talk on Friday with Debbie and talking about the best day of the year. And it's tomorrow.
Okay, I'm looking at the date. That's going to be the 20th of August.
August 20th. Back to school, baby! And I've been having a lot of guilt about how excited I am. And Lucas is super excited, too. But, like, the fact that I'm so excited about it. Yeah, it does a little bit, but I still feel like a bad mom. And I talked to my friend Jen. She was like, dude, that's a freaking holiday in our house. And so I'm okay with it. I'm okay with being super excited. I mean, the boy needs an education.
That's
so
right.
It's, like,
you
I
want
can't
to deprive
stop.
Him of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yes, tomorrow school starts. So today he spent the night at a friend's house last night. The friend's mom called me at 11:30 p.m. telling me he wanted to come home.
Come get your kid.
And they put him on the phone and I was like, dude, there is no chance in hell I'm picking you up right now. Like, but I want to feel
Wait a
safe
minute. The
at home.
Last night before he goes to school, he was at somebody else's house?
Nay, before last. So they don't go to school tonight. They go to school tomorrow. So he'll be back today and then we'll try to get him to bed at a regular time.
Why
but yeah,
it starts school on a Tuesday and not the Monday.
I know. Well, we have tonight we have orientation. So we have to go in and find out where his class is and where his little room is and who's in his, you know, where he goes.
Now you're
and all
in
that.
Oklahoma. So is his class like three people?
Believe it or not, jackass, other people live here.
It's not like the old days where it's a one-room schoolhouse. And
no, it's not a one-room schoolhouse. It's a very good school. It has a very high ratings. We actually lie about our address to get into this school. We actually say we live with Chad's parents. And so we go into the office and we're like, hey, we live with these people. And they're like, you live with your mother-in-law. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. Just put him in the
school. It's a horrible experience. Well, Jennifer is out riding right now. Since I came back for that one day, spent it with you on that Monday, and then went to the conference, the podcasting conference, it rained the entire week. It never stopped raining the entire week. They had 10 inches of rain here in Ocala last week.
Sounds like she needs to man up. Get out so there.
I said, you can take the morning off and go ride, because she has not literally ridden in a month. And we all know how grumpy horsewomen get when they haven't ridden in a month.
Oh, yeah. So, first world problem. Yeah. I didn't get to ride my horse because I was in London on vacation.
Yeah.
Like, I'll punch
well,
you.
That doesn't make you any less grumpy. You know that.
It's true. So. It's true. So actually, we're going to have some of your first world problems coming up a little bit later. And I've got a new segment that it just fell in my lap last night, Glenn. It's weird news stories. And it is news stories that are super weird and super true. And I just found them all last night. So they're all very current, brand new, weird news stories.
All right. Very good. And we also have Karen Chatton coming up to give us a Tevis report. She was there and she crewed for a whole gaggle of Mustangs, apparently like five Mustangs.
I think
Mustangs.
They call them a herd.
Yes. So she crewed for them and apparently there were some stories. So we're going to go over what happened at Tevis. And that was, of course, over the weekend. So she's going to come on and give us an update on that. As well as, if we have time, you're going to get to a training question or two later on. I'll talk a little bit about what happened at the podcasting conference and where our future is headed. Plus some interesting tidbits that you might be interested in. So that's all coming up on today's show. But first, Daily Whinny. So my Daily Whinny goes out to new auditors. We have a Phyllis Allen, Caitlin Plow, Camilla Thompson, Kelly Courage, Courtney Dew,
Ursina Studhalter, which Studhalter is the greatest last name of all time.
Do you think that's her real last name?
It doesn't matter. It's fantastic.
Do you think she just put that on there so we would talk about it on the show? Stephanie Fike, and happy anniversary to Chelsea and Ryan Sievers. She was just on the show a little bit ago.
And so, I do apologize to everybody who just had their name butchered by Glenn. It's like a rite of passage.
It's a ritual that we go through here to welcome you to the show.
Well, I've got some fun, exciting stories for you. But first, I've got to give my Daily Whinny out to Carrie, one of our auditors. Carrie posted, we have an auditor's TAC exchange Facebook page, and she posted some supplements that she was trying to get rid of. And they're the exact supplements that I needed for Baby Groot. So she sent them to me, and I appreciate it. That was very sweet. Thank you so much. The FedEx guy, I believe, got bit by a dog, but it's okay. He was fine.
One of your dogs?
Well, they just drive up and get out of the truck. Like, even a vet knows to just wait and have a cookie handy or something. I mean, my God, I'm in the country. There's going to be farm dogs, but whatever. Anyway, thank you, Carrie. Appreciate it.
Ours is a little apprehensive here in the neighborhood because there's so many dogs that live in fenced yards. They've now started to not come in. They will not come into your driveway. They throw it over the fence.
Yeah, that guy will rethink not doing that again.
Well, you've had, we haven't talked in a while. What's going on with the horses?
Oh my gosh, you guys, I had to specify what horse I was going to take to the makeover. So it is official. Baby Groot, lost my way, will be my official horse going to the makeover. And I officially had to put down what disciplines we will be competing
in. And you're going to do reining and barrel racing.
Barrel racing and Western ranch horse. No, just kidding. I actually was like trying to figure out what he would be good at, and he's really not going to be great at any of them. However, I did take him to that one little horse trial, Glenn, while you were gone. I took him to the Feather Creek horse trial, and he finished in fourth out of four, but we finished with a number and not a letter.
You threw that in because you knew I was going to ask.
Of course, I knew you were going to ask. It wasn't even worth it. But he finished in fourth out of four, and fantastic job. And so next weekend, we're going to go to a one-day horse trial, and then we're going to do one more before we go to the makeover. So basically,
boy, that's coming up so quick, too.
Less than 2 months away. It's the first week in October. So basically, we're going to do eventing. And so, of course, I just thought I just need to stick to what I know. I don't know how to show a hunter. I think he would make a lovely dressage horse. I I don't know how to do all that stuff that fancy. And I have all the clothes already for eventing. So he's going to event. And we've got some crash course learning to do here soon. And the second, because you challenged me and I'm mad at you for it, we are going to do a freestyle. Oh my God, I might die.
You have
I might
to die do the freestyle. You have, that's like a require. That is a rite of passage.
Oh, actually just talking about doing the freestyle, my palms are getting sweaty.
I recommend that is jousting. I think you should take up jousting for the
and just joust by myself.
Well, no, you can catch a little ring. So, you know, all the things jousters do is swing the axe and knock the head off the, cut the watermelons in half.
6 weeks, Glenn. I have 6 weeks.
Yeah,
you
this sounds like
earlier.
More of a challenge for you than the horse, actually. Yeah, so skip jousting. Yeah, that's too dangerous. We can't give you sharp things.
Yeah, no sharp things. So I'm working on something. It, of course, could be an ultimate massive failure. That's just the way that life with me works, because I'm thinking I get him in there and to that covered arena and he's never been in an indoor arena before. So this could be fairly disastrous. So we will see how it goes.
You need to find an arena around to hop in every once in a while and say hi.
Listen, I'm like, my pulse is racing just even telling you.
So he's not going to be one of those that's under the giant blue tarp and riding around under the tarp as people are holding it over his head.
Glenn, I watched the finale last year on YouTube, which was an utterly terrible idea. Oh my God. First of all, this girl, she's standing on the arena and she's dressed like in some really cool charro clothes, you know, and this horse comes out black, thoroughbred comes galloping out and they like do all this liberty work and it lays down and she gets on it and she rides it bridleless around. They didn't even freaking win. Okay. It's ridiculous. So we're just going to participate. we have no dreams of winning this whole thing.
Let me write this down. I need to get a participation ribbon made.
Yes, you do. And I want it to be a neck ribbon because I've never won a neck ribbon. And who doesn't want a neck ribbon?
What colors would you like?
Blue.
Blue, okay.
Because in America, that's first place.
Just check.
Give me a pink one. No, listen, I need the blue.
I think actually the participation ribbons are like some weird color.
They're like black.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like we competed in the AECs and I got like a little black ribbon. Like, yay.
Well, try and do better than that, all right?
You got here. Yeah. Come up with
something
better.
By the way, I did get this question. There's a couple of people planning, auditors and listeners planning on going. If you're planning on going, we are going to try and do a meetup one night, maybe meet at a restaurant or something. So if we have enough going that want to do a meetup, we'll try and get that accomplished. Because Jennifer and I will be there and you'll be there. There'll be a bunch of our listeners
Joy's
are going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll try and do that, get that arranged.
Now, I would also like to point out that I do have 6 weeks left and Baby Groot this weekend came. Entered his first jumps. So there is progress being made. I feel like running a beginner novice, amped up beginner novice course is a little far out, but we did the intro division and we trotted everything and we cantered the last jump. And then I started cantering him in the arena. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. We did a dressage test that was walk trot. So we're working on the canter.
So why did you pick this one over the other one? Just further along?
So bless his heart, Drax. He's one of those that constantly has like a small thing wrong with him. Like right now he's got a stone bruise and you'd think he was going to die. You know, like
hypochondriac. And then,
oh God. And then he had a tiny little cut on his back leg and he was like three-legged lame. You know, he's had multiple tiny little things. Like when he got here, he had racing plates on and but just on the hind feet and the racing plates cut his heel bulbs in the front, you know, like it was just like one tiny little thing. So he is farther behind in the training than Groot is. So like Drax is just now.
Well,
learning
you don't need to take a chance
up
on a horse like that to make the trip.
No, and that's the exciting
queen.
Thing is, yeah, Baby Groot does not travel well. So we are competing an hour away this coming Sunday. So he'll get at least a taste of driving more than 2 miles.
I will say, speaking of traveling well, I saw one of the auditors, remember a while back, you talked about trailer loading and how to solve that issue. And they tried it and it worked, apparently. So
yeah, yes, I've had some good feedback on that. Yeah. It turns out that trailer loading Monty Roberts' way is good.
It actually works, yeah.
That guy actually knows what he's talking about. I take no credit. Like, somebody said, you should write a book. And I'm like, there is a book.
Yeah.
I read it.
He already wrote several. So there's a whole bunch of videos on MontyRobertsUniversity.com.
Exactly.
That's right.
But the other news, I had something happen this weekend, which really sucked. Really sucked.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I saw a picture.
Poor little Tank. Tank is my mini Jack Russell. He's called a shorty Jack. He's like a small...
How do you get smaller than a Jack Russell?
I don't know. And this is the dog. I did not buy this dog. I did not choose this dog. This dog showed up when I was in Ireland and my farm sitter fed him. You know, he was there like 2 weeks at my house by the time I showed back up. And basically, he was just part of the family. And I found his owners and they were like, we didn't really want him back. So we ended up keeping him because, you know, we have a 6-year-old who freaked out. So we have this Jack Russell, but he's old, and he was old when we got him, and now he's super old because that was like 3 years ago, and he can only see about, gosh, we're guessing like 10 feet in front of him. Probably just like, he's like me. He can't see anything in the distance, but right over in front of him, he can see. So he, bless his little heart, he's a terrier, and he likes to roam our 20 acres, and you know, you can call him and he'll come, but he just roams around. So apparently he roamed around enough to where he went under our fence and got into the neighbor's yard, which is a mistake he hopefully will not make again, because neighbor's dogs took very poor coyotes to try to get into that. I mean, my God, they shredded him, Glenn. They basically grabbed him around the neck and ripped his neck up, somehow got his shoulder open and got his hip ripped open. And so he's all these like
tears. What's with the neighbor dogs?
They seem angry, right? So here's the deal. My neighbor calls us at like 9 o'clock in the morning and Chad didn't, it called Chad and Chad didn't get the call. So he's like, oh, it's never good when your neighbor calls you, you know? So he calls him right back and the guy doesn't answer. So, okay, well, I haven't talked to the neighbor and I'm about my business and we're coming and going and doing our farm stuff. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the neighbor calls back and he's like, hey, by the way, I was calling you this morning because your dog got into our yard and our dog's ripped it up pretty good. And we're like, what dog? The little Jack Russell. Oh, I was like, oh crap. I haven't seen Tank all day. I haven't seen him all day. And I haven't really been back to the house either because I was in the barn and I was just running errands. And I'm like, oh God, I got to find him. So I go to the front door of our house and I realize that there is blood all over the front walk. And there's no Tank. So I run to the back door to see if he's at the back door. Nope, but there's blood all over the floor by the back door. And so I go into the garage because that's the other entrance into the house and the garage is open. And there's blood all over the garage floor. And so I follow the trail of blood into the very back corner because our garage is full of stuff because we moved into an 800 square foot house. So we have like all this furniture in the garage. He had basically crawled all the way to the back corner, I think just to lay down and die. And it was like 105 degrees. So, oh my God, I found him. He's covered in blood. So Chad grabs a towel. I wrap him up in the towel and I'm on the way to the vet and I call the vet. I'm like, hey, can you guys see a dog? They're like, I was like, I'll be at your place in 5 minutes. So coming in. So thanks to University Animal Hospital for quickly seeing us. And they clipped and scrubbed and stapled and it just was awful. And so now he's on a lot of meds but it actually seems okay. So the good news is little Tank is going to make it. He seems fine. He's on antibiotics and pain meds. He's currently laying on the couch right behind me. So he survived. He lost a lot of blood, but they said, oh, he'll be fine. That's all. They've got a lot of blood. I'm like, he's like 4 pounds. How can he have a lot of blood? I feel like all his blood was in my house on the floor. But anyway, he's there. He's fine.
So like most free pets, it was not free.
No, no, yeah. No pets are free. No. This is also the one that's had an ear infection. This is also one that needed a tooth pulled. I mean, my God, they were like, here, you take him. We don't want him. Too much work.
So did we figure out how he got into the neighbor's yard?
Oh, because he's like 5 pounds. I swear to you, aside from this freaking dog that I still am fostering that I will never get another small dog because they're just too hard to manage. There's so much, like, they can just escape everywhere and they move under. Like, he won't run away. He just was
he's
hey,
like
neighbor.
A Jack Russell. He's not going to learn from his mistake. He's going to go back for more.
Well, he's been pretty glued to me. So hopefully he learned something.
Awful. Let's hope so. No. All right. What do you want to do next? You want to do weird news stories?
Sure.
All right.
Do you have any sort of like news sounder, like dee 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 dee?
Yes, I do. I'm ready for you. You ready?
All right, go. Okay, this is going to run the gamut, okay? So here we're going to start with, we're going to head to Colorado. Coors Field. It's a baseball story, but I even thought that you would like this, Glenn, because I know you don't like baseball. So you know when you go to the baseball stadiums, they have that, you know, throw your pitch and we'll clock it and see how fast you throw it.
Okay.
You've seen those. So you throw it and they clock it and they're like, oh, you threw it 33 miles an hour. You know, it's embarrassing.
You barely made it to the plate.
Yeah, exactly. So this kid goes there. He's like 25 or something like that. And he goes in and he casually threw a 96 mile per hour fastball this little area.
I know that's fast.
That's really fast. That's like closer fast, like Major League Baseball, your fastest thrower guy. Okay. So he casually throws a fastball 96 miles an hour. And then on Thursday, the Oakland A's signed him. 23 years old. They signed
Smart
him.
Kid.
So he played high school baseball, but then he never took it seriously. And then he decided to kind of like start playing in some little leagues on the side. And they have, they gave him a contract. So now he is a Oakland A. Congratulations to him. He had his major league debut on Saturday and apparently killed it. Like, was amazing. So is so fantastic. So that's congratulations to Christian Patterson, the newest member, and he just crushed it by throwing a 96 mile an hour fastball in the cages like during a game. Surprise! So it was in Southern California. There's a Southern California port, and the port comes in and it's a delivery, and it's supposed to be a delivery of, I don't know, plastic auto parts. Okay. So it's plastic auto parts or something like that. And the dogs, they smelled something, and they open up this shipping container, and there are like hundreds and hundreds of pounds of jalapeno peppers, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of jalapeno peppers.
Can you imagine what that smelled like?
All over the ground. However, Glenn, that wasn't what they were worried about. It was the 7,500 pounds of marijuana in the hot peppers pallets. So yes, Customs and Border Protection have now caught these guys bringing 7,500 pounds of marijuana.
Isn't it amazing that the dogs can smell through jalapenos to the marijuana?
I give them props for trying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what do you got to do? What do you got to cover it with to get it to cover up? I don't know.
This is actually the second largest seizure of marijuana there, but within days. So this is not the biggest. This is the second biggest, because the plastic auto parts, as I mentioned, these were jalapeno shipment. The plastic auto parts had 10,600 pounds of marijuana. So there is a lot of people in Southern California that are really jonesing right now.
That's funny.
Next. So we're going to go to Southern California, over to Henrico County, Virginia. Residents living in a Virginia neighborhood woke up to find free televisions on their doorsteps. Free TVs. And it sounds like a great gift until you realize the TVs are from like 1980. They're like those big giant tube TVs. And somebody had a Ring doorbell thing. And it turns out that the guy wants to be known as the TV Santa Claus. And he shows up and he puts a TV, like old tube style, 13 inch was what was left on this person with the Ring doorstep. But the guy bringing the TVs, the TV Santa Claus, walks up and he's got a TV on his head. So he's wearing a TV on his head. And turns out the only real crime committed was illegal dumping. But they don't know who he was because the TV Santa Claus is covered in a TV. One more.
Fun. That's funny.
Oh, Glenn, I'm having kidney stones. Oh, I'm having kidney stones. Sad Danette Glitz, who has suffered kidney stones in the past. So she goes to the hospital. Oh, I have kidney stones. We're up in South Dakota, by the way. South Dakota. Fantastic job. She said, I started getting pains. I figured it was kidney stones because I've went through them before. Turns out she had to have a different surgery, Glenn. She had triplets. Triplets!
What?
She didn't know she was pregnant with triplets. Oh, my God. So
how? Okay, so every story like this, when they don't know they're pregnant, they're usually heavyset women. How?
I don't know. They did not have a picture of her.
How do you have triplets and not know you're pregnant?
I don't know, but I saw this on an episode of ER back in the day, and it was like a super big woman had a baby in her, and she didn't know it. So I don't know how big you have to be to have triplets, like, laid out inside you. They were 34 weeks old. Babies are born at 40 weeks. So we're talking, these were fairly substantial babies. Apparently the dad, they are delivering the baby and she runs in there and they ultrasound the kidney stones. They're like, oh my God, you're having twins. You're having twins. And so they go deliver the baby. They pull the first one out, pull the second one out. And they're like, we need another blanket. And the dad's like, no, put it back. Apparently that was his quote. Put it back. You said twins. I don't want triplets. I can't handle it. So congratulations to Danette Glitz. The mom of two goes into the hospital thinking she has kidney stones and comes out with triplets. Each of them weighed about 4 pounds.
Jeez.
There's your weird news for the day.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry.
No, it's okay. You should just move on.
It's the first time back in 3 weeks. I got to get it right. All right. Well, let's listen to Omega Alpha, and we'll be right back to talk about the Tevis.
I'm connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. Leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, we're back, and I hope that we have Karen Chatton here, host of the Endurance episode. Hi, Karen.
Hi, can you hear me okay? If not, call me on my cell phone.
Oh, I thought that's what we were on.
No, call me on
Skype. We can hear you fine. You sound good.
Okay, good. That's great.
So, of course,
yes, I'm back from Tevis. What an event it was this year. We had 184 riders start and 99 finish.
So that's about a 53% completion rate?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he did that math. He's
I had that
math
written down.
He read it on the internet. So it must be true.
So Karen, that's about normal, right?
That's about right in range. Some years it actually is less. There's been years where it's been down to like 43%. So this was a good year.
Well, good. So tell us about the weather. What was the weather like?
The weather was just the normal hot. It wasn't extremely hot, but it was still probably up in the 90s. The thing was, as a crew person, we stayed the night in Auburn on Friday night. The air conditioner sounds like a friggin' semi-truck 2 feet from my bed running all night long. And then because the hotel is filled with people crewing Tevis, at 1:44 in the morning, they started getting the ice machine going. And so they push this button and ice falls out. It sounds like a refrigerator ice machine where it drops the ice. from 1:44 a.m. And I finally said, hey, you guys, we might as well just get up and go. Because it was like two doors down from our room, this ice machine. So between the ice machine and the air conditioning, it's like I should have just been riding the ride.
So you were
crewing. I wasn't going to get any sleep.
You were crewing for a whole bunch of Mustangs, right?
I was crewing for Mark's Mustangs, Mark Montgomery. Last year, his two horses, Cody and Woody, finished in the top 10, and Cody won the Hagen Cup.
Got it.
And Cody and Woody both completed this year again as well.
So now you, so we had all these Mustangs, and you had what, five or six this year, not just two?
Well, we did. We were crewing actively for four of the horses. There would have been five. However, one of the horses didn't pass the vet in. Okay. So Mark gave his horse, Gus, over to the junior rider from Israel to ride.
Okay.
And so then Mark ended up, we added him onto our crew. And then now we have four horses and basically four crew people, the main crew people. So that's how that transpired. The four riders riding Mark's four horses were all international riders. One from Australia and three from Israel.
Oh, that's cool. And did they all finish?
They all did, yes.
Go Mustangs. Wow.
Yes, go Mustangs. And, you know, those horses, man, they're so cool. We did have some mishaps, which I can't wait to tell you about, which, you know, it's just kind of fun now because it's over and we survived and everybody's okay. But they did awesome. Like Gus, it was his first 100-mile ride ever. And the international rider goes into they change things around every year at Tevis with the rules. And this year they wouldn't let a crew person go into the vet check with the riders. And, you know, they need to change that back. If they have a foreign rider that's not real good with understanding English, they got to let somebody go in with them. Because I'm like kind of crewing for Gus and I'm on the sidelines. I'm like, you know, 40 feet away. And I see the vets talking to my junior and I don't know what he's saying. And I'm like all nervous. And so they come out and I say to him, what did the vet say? And all he could say was all good, all good. And so I said, can I see your vet card? I open up the vet card. This horse at Forest Hill, which is like 2/3 of the way through 67 miles, has a 40-40 CRI and all A's on his vet card.
So
I'm like, geez, I wish my Arab could do this, you know, like, dang. And I'm like, yeah, it's all good. But, you know, you just get nervous. And yeah, these horses are just, they're amazing. All of them, you know, they're just, it's amazing.
Jamie, you're happy to hear that, I bet.
I want to know, Karen, are you officially changing your position and now you're going to ride Mustangs in these? I mean, I feel like they're screaming at you.
They are. I know. They're just, you know, they do their business. You know, the thing I think that I've noticed, I don't know, all horses get bonded to each other, you know, to their buddies. These horses, some of them seem to be really buddy sour. So you can't separate them or you're going to have screaming going on.
The Mustangs you can't separate?
The Mustangs. Yes. They're very attached and bonded to their buddies.
See, I don't have that experience with mine at all. So that's interesting. I wonder if it's just like we're in the trenches together. We're going to get out of the trenches together.
Right. Yeah, we're going to live or die one way or the other.
That's why they all finished, because nobody wanted to be left behind.
So Karen.
Well, there you go. That's kind of it. And then, but then there's a couple here and there where they're not attached. But the ones that are, oh my gosh. Okay, so we were at Forest Hill and it's dark. And it's like 9 o'clock at night. Okay, wait. Let me tell you first about the shoe. This is fun. So the one Israeli woman, she was young. We're in the vet check, and it's like a half an hour into our hold. So we have a half hour left, and she looks at Mark, who owns, you know, he owns the horse, and says, "Oh, you know what? he's missing a shoe, but only half of it's missing. And Mark's like, what? The horse is missing a shoe? And she says, but it's okay because he still has half of it.
He had to have, so, how do you lose half a shoe?
Well, it's a composite shoe, so it broke in half. Half came off. So she says, yeah, it's okay because half of it's still there. And so Mark looks at me and he says, I have a half an hour to put on a new shoe. I'm like, yes, exactly. Here's your farrier tools.
Get to work.
Get to work. And he was. So he's over there. He's finishing up putting on the two shoes. So this leads into the next story. He's finishing up, just getting done putting on a new shoe on the front foot of Pistol, I believe it was. So Pistol and this and one of the other Mustangs is there. I'm holding Gus, and all the horses are, they seem like they're eating and everything's fine. All of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I think one of the Israeli riders was tacking up, because I'm like a drill sergeant. It's like, okay, this is how much time we have left. This is how much time it takes to get to the out timer. We are not going to be late. You guys get the tack on now. So everybody's tacking up and it's dark. And all of a sudden, all I see is, I think, Mark falling backwards, two horses spinning, running. I see the back feet of a horse that's bucking and running with its saddle under its belly, headed straight for the forest. And I'm holding Gus with this rope attached to his hackmore because somebody forgot to bring a halter or a lead rope for him. So I've got this little wet, pencil thin, 2 foot long rope. I'm hanging on for dear life. Gus swings his head around, knocks the headlight off of my head, flings it through the air. So now there's no light. It's just dark. And these two horses are gone.
Play it, Glenn. Play it.
I don't want to be that girl.
Welcome to my world, Karen. Congratulations.
So luckily Mark runs off with whoever, and the horses stopped pretty quick. Thank God they didn't go blasting. Oh my God, that could have ended so bad.
What happens if the horse goes through the vet check without the rider? Is that bad?
Especially if the saddle is under the belly. Yeah, that's like extra double bonus points for being bad. So they bring the horses back. We end up getting them tacked up. And I'm like, oh gosh, can I just hide in the, in the shadows and disappear? So I'm given the instructions usually as I walk the riders out, because they're foreigners. I'm telling them all what to do. And at that point, we had separated the Australian rider, Talia, which hopefully maybe I can get her on the next endurance segment. She's a young gal. She completed with Woody in 24th place. She did something to her ankle. I don't know if she got stepped on or did something. She wrapped it up like a third of the way through the ride. She ended up, it hurt so bad, she had to take her stirrup off and ride with her heel and the stirrup strap in order to finish Tevis. She is already on a plane.
She finished it without a stirrup?
Yes, because her ankle was hurting so bad.
Over the mountains and through the woods?
Uh-huh. Yes.
There's a tough Australian chick.
The cliffs. So she ended up, she did finish. She's already on a plane back to Australia, where she's going to be riding a 250-mile ride this week. So I know. How crazy is that?
Well, Karen, let's talk a little bit about who did win. Do you know it's an 18-year-old girl named Sonoma Blakely. Blakely from Oregon,
yes.
Right?
Yes, and you probably remember a few years back, we interviewed her brother, Barack, who won the Hagen Cup. And at that time, he was one of the youngest riders on one of the oldest horses to ever win the Hagen Cup. So yes, it was Sonoma Blakely that won, and it was a total nose-to-nose, shoulder-to-shoulder race-off with Jeremy Reynolds.
And Jeremy Reynolds, let's, you know, for those that don't know, Jeremy Reynolds, one of the top writers in the country, a professional writer, been doing it forever. So he's going against this 18-year-old. She must have been beside herself when she won this thing.
But she beat him.
I know.
She, you know, what a race off. In fact, my friend that owns the horse, actually, Dublin
10-year-old Arabian, right? Gelding. I'm telling you, so it
I'm
is a 10-year-old
Arabian.
I'm talking
about the one that Jeremy
Gelding
owns.
Oh, okay.
She was at the No Hands Bridge, which is just a few miles from the finish. And she went there, and here comes Jeremy. And apparently, Sonoma went through first, just blazing, just like zoom. And she didn't have any glow bars or lights on him. And that's, you know, when you're a front runner, you don't want anybody, your competition, to be able to see you in the dark. You want to be like incognito, because if they can see you, then they're going to be, you know, hot on your tail trying to catch up. So Jeremy comes along and he's cruising along pretty good. And Dublin, or Tinker, that's her nickname, says, Jeremy, you know, she already went by and she's hauling butt. You need to go. And Jeremy's like, what? I didn't see her leave the last bet check. I thought I was first.
Oh, jeez. So he thought he was leading and he wasn't.
And he wasn't. She was like, yeah. Very,
did they come into the stadium together? I mean, same time?
Well, I guess it was like a next length difference.
Wow.
At the finish line.
Wow.
They raced.
After 100 miles, we're nose to nose at the finish line.
It racing hard, yes.
Wow, and they both vetted out, so that's good. And she ends up winning at the age of 18.
18, she was first place, and Jeremy was second. Usually, Jeremy, when he does complete, he's usually first. So that was pretty cool. And then, yes, we had it was quite a race this year. A lot of competitors there. The horse that finished ninth was the one that was awarded the Hagen Cup.
Yes. Now, I noticed that the Hagen Cup went to Monk. And didn't we have, owned by Chris Martin, didn't we talk about Monk not too long ago?
We may have.
Yeah.
Some
I thought
point.
We did on
yeah.
the show. I and thought it, we had talked
it was,
about Monk.
It was Monk's fifth Tavis completion. All five have been in the top 10.
Wow. So he deserved it. Well, and, you know, there were five out of the nine junior riders finished, which is kind of cool. And then they had a special thing this year where they did a Tevis educational ride. And that's you weren't competing, but you were learning. And apparently 8 out of 12 of them finished as well.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we did have there was one interesting kind of story to tell where one rider was riding along and the horse slipped and fell down. It was like a 15 to 20 foot cliff. And the horse fell, the rider, I'm not sure what happened with the rider. The rider is okay.
Yeah.
But the horse went down 15 to 20 feet. It's a local horse to the area, so the horse knew the trail. So the horse fell down a lot of, you know, there's a lot of switchbacks on the trail. So you're going, you know, down, back and forth and back and forth. So where the horse fell, the horse ended up on the trail. So the horse decided to go home.
Oh my God.
So the horse is just cruising along down the trail. The rider's back wherever she came off. And the horse is just cruising along. So like 6 miles later, on the Kel 2 loop, which is pretty narrow switchbacks with cliffs. And in fact, once I rode it in the daylight, I get off and lead down it anymore. I don't ride down it because it terrifies me. So one of my friends, Kathy, she ended up finishing 99th. She was the last rider. And this is why. So she's riding along down the trail. It's dark. She's got her nice little bubble. She's by herself. And here comes this loose horse riding along by himself with no rider and runs into her horse and her and knocks him hard enough. So my friend comes off, but she comes off and pulls the saddle over sideways. So now she falls off. Luckily, there was enough land beneath her where she fell off and stayed there instead of going off the cliff and falling down So she's off. Her horse is now on this narrow, precipitous trail with the saddle on its side. And she's on the ground. Now, here come all of a sudden all these riders behind her, of course, because, you know, that's it gets to be kind of bunched up in the towards the end with a lot of the riders. They're all everybody ends up kind of in a train of horses. So here they all come and then they start yelling at her, get out of the way, move your horse, move your horse. She's like, I can't move my horse until I fix his saddle. I can't do it. There's not enough room. I'm stuck. And so finally somebody got off of their horse from up above and hiked down and helped her get the saddle back in position and she could move and go on. But she was pretty sore, bruised and beat up from getting, you know, knocked off and falling on the ground. And, but she finished. So, you know, that was, pretty cool. But that, you know, these things all happen. There's always stuff that happens.
And y'all say eventers are crazy. This is insane.
Yeah, you're not convincing Jamie she should try it again.
You know, I wanted to say, too, remember, Karen, we talked a lot about my potential career in endurance. And my experience with the Mustang was completely opposite of what you described. So I'm on Thor, my giant Mustang, who was a wild stallion for 4 years, right? And we're out and we're in the desert and we have a girl that I think you know, and then a couple friends, and they're all on horses and they're trotting. And I swear to God, about halfway through, Thor just stops. He's like, go on without me. I'm going to live here. This is where I live now.
Yeah, I had Woody over at the Outtimer at Forest Hill. We're like, it's 67 miles in. That horse wouldn't sit still. He was walking circles at like a 5-mile-an-hour walk. He was like, I got to go. It's time. I got to go. And it's like, thank God they finally got to go. He moved up from, I don't know, he was 90 or 100 or whatever, wherever he was, because we ended up separating him and Gus so that the junior could end up riding with the dad. And anyway, so we finally set Woody off. He ended up finishing at like 1:50 in the morning, which is actually pretty early for most toughest riders, and 24th place.
Jeez. That's a little different than your horse, Jamie. No question.
He just cruised.
Zeus is completely opposite.
You know, and it's so cool because the horses, there's no drama. They just do their job. It's all, I guess you could probably fairly say most of the Tevis horses by the time they're doing Tevis, you know, they know their job. They're all business. Man, you should watch these Mustangs slurp down food. It's like a shop vac doesn't suck it up as fast.
Well, Karen, thank you for joining us and giving us the update. I'm glad that everybody did well and survived. I just wanted to also, Devin Horn, who's been on our show many, many, many times, did complete Tevis. Unfortunately, her horse didn't check out in the final vet, so she didn't get a finish, but she was happy to get through 100 miles. I wanted to ask you real quick, and I know Jamie talked about it last week, but what do you think about the 70-year-old winning the Mongol Derby?
You know, he needs to come and do Tevis because we had several riders that were 75 and older do Tevis this year.
Really?
This is like the geriatric Tevis. All these people, they're 70, 60, 65, 70, 75 and older. Lots of people that are up in that age bracket still doing Tevis. I don't know if they just want to kill themselves off or whatever, but they're out there doing, I mean, it's that's what they're used to doing and riding horses their whole lives. It's 75 isn't that old. They're still out there doing it. You know, even if they one guy had a walker, a little walker stick, like cane thing when he came through the vet check.
Glenn, you have no excuse anymore.
I have no excuse.
they're still out there. And yes, it was sad. There were like five horses pulled at the finish. In fact, your friend's horse, Jamie, the Mustang from Arizona.
Andrea.
Was pulled at the finish. Heather Reynolds was pulled at the finish.
Another top rider. Yeah.
Devin. Yeah, she finished in the top 10. And then Devin was pulled at the finish.
Well, that's why they do the vet checks. I mean, that's why they do it.
Gosh, so. It's heartbreaking because you just vet check like 6 miles back at the quarry. It's it's, you know, all it takes is one. It, especially once the horse gets tired after almost 100 miles, all it takes is one wrong step, one hitting a rock,
twist an ankle, and there's it. Yep.
Or something, or somebody else's loose horse runs into you, knocks you off your horse on the edge of a giant cliff. That was just pure luck that my friend fell where there was actually a spot where she could land instead of continuing down the side of this giant cliff into the a river below, which would not have been. So.
Thank you, Karen. We appreciate it. And
God, it
another
really makes
Tevis
me want
in the
to try
books.
Again. I really want to do it. It sounds so fun.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay, bye.
Y'all are crazy. That is just crazy town.
Yeah, that's that takes a special person and a special horse. But it sounds like the Mustangs were really representing this year. That's great.
They were. It's so funny because like herdbound is just not something I've dealt with my couple guys. Even I've had three now, and none of them have been herdbound at all. They're
now,
all
Zeus
like,
has
like
all
I said,
the other qualities, but that
he has lots of qualities. Yeah. I'm glad you put it like that.
I wasn't going to say problems. It's qualities. He has many qualities.
That little bugger, man, we have sorted him out in that stall. We have put some lower clips on. A listener suggested it, and we did it. And I'm not kidding you. He is not happy if the top clip is clipped. You can clip it and walk away, and he'll walk in.
I saw your video of him unclipping it.
Yeah, he's very quick about it and very careful.
He has good lips. I mean, he really can. All right. Well, speaking of Mustangs, a while back we had Marcia Hartford Sapp on, and when she was retiring her Mustang Cobra, probably one of the most winningest, most decorated Mustangs in history. And it was at Briarfest that she retired Cobra. They had a special celebration, and Templeton Thompson was there singing, and there was a song that was written for Cobra and sung by Peter Prince. He wrote the song and sung it for her, and I just want, we said we were going to play it back then. We never did, so I thought we'd talk about Mustangs today. Be a perfect time to play the song called Cobra about Marcia's horse.
A dark bay Mustang branded outlaw came to her from western skies. A dark bay Mustang from Nevada, with fear and fire in his eyes, was unwanted, none could tame him. A three-strike loser, why even try? He's much too wild, they said, too dangerous. Nothing but a waste of time. She was patient, calm, and fearless. Slowly she would earn his trust. Sometimes the heart is all that matters. He surrendered to her gentle touch. Silent signs, unspoken language. She trained him in the horse ballet, the highest art of horse and rider, the greatest gift each other gave. is what she came to call him. Thought the name that fit him best. Fighting spirit, Mustang warrior. Gallant Cobra stood the test. Cobra's what she came to call him. That's the name that fit him best. Fighting spirit, Mustang warrior. Dressage champion of the West. Dressage champion of the West. Dressage champion of the West.
Well, that's Peter Prince with Cobra. And of course, that was Mary Marsha Hartford Sapp's horse. All right, it is time.
Well, let me first start out by saying if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. You're not in Mongolia. You're not having to eat any horses. Come on, it's life. So that being said, we all know that we all have our equestrian first world problems. And it is part of my responsibility to give you guys an outlet. So on the auditor's post every week on Sunday nights, I ask people to submit, like, what have you been dealing with that's like super sad in your life? Because life is hard with horses. So these are submitted by the people whose names I am reading. They did not find these like really bad ads. This is their life. Let's start out with Haley. Haley, and this one's kind of a real problem, but, you know, I got to read it. Bought my third saddle in 2 years, a brand new custom for my horse, a perfect jumping saddle. I used it for 2 months, and now my horse is retired from jumping. Super fun. You need to sell it to somebody who has a horse that looks just like yours.
For Ellen, half the price, because that's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. You're screwed. Ellen says, I am going to look at the perfect used truck, which is the exact same as my old truck that I loved but got totaled. This truck, though, has like way fewer miles, and it is $4,000 less than the comparable trucks that I've seen. But it doesn't have any running boards. You can get electric running boards that drop down when you open the door for less than $4,000 and buy the damn truck.
Have you ever had that?
No, that's too fancy for me. Oh, okay. But I did install running boards on the dually that I have. Like, who didn't have running boards on a giant freaking four-wheel drive dually?
Two. You need running boards to get into a dually.
I need a mounting block that like comes out. Three-step mounting block. I remember when I had Lucas's car seat, and I'd have to lift that bloody car seat up into that truck. And it was like I had to get a gym membership to do it. Okay. Jackie says that people always want to like make plans and hang out with me on Saturdays, but that's my lesson day. I would kill to have somebody call me on a Saturday and want to hang out. Sad little moment of my life right there. Share how living Oklahoma is going for me. Okay. Somebody please call me. Ursina says, my gelding has voiced his opinion on his current saddle. No more, he said. Now I'm scrambling to find him a better fit because I have a show in 2 weeks and I ordered a new custom saddle and it's like way late. So let me get this straight, Ursina. You're buying a saddle to wear in 2 weeks because the custom saddle you ordered isn't in yet. Just borrow a saddle.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Our scene is my kind
as a horse husband, I second that motion, by the way.
That's why she's my kind of girl. Kim says, my husband is out of town, and so I decided to treat myself to a trip to the tack shop. Horse husband, not approved. But my lunch with a horsey friend ran so long, by the time I got there, the tack shop was closed. I hope you were drunk. Like, I hope you at least got a good buzz out of it.
Angie says, and Jennifer treated herself to a trip to the tack shop, too.
I'm sure she did. Good girl. Angie says, I get along. Now, I didn't know what these terms were, so I'm going to read them. I don't know where Angie is from. Do you know what an agister and a co-agistee is?
No idea.
So I had to ask, and apparently it's your like barn owner and one of the boarders. Why you didn't just say that? I don't know, probably. Yeah. She says, I get along really well with my barn owner and one of the boarders, and both are awesome ladies and lots of fun, but they have very different personalities and don't really get along with each other, but they're at least kind of civil. And here's my first world equestrian problem is they have both invited me on amazing camping trips on the exact same weekend. Oh, you're screwed. You can't go on either one.
No, that's you got to say no to both.
You got to say no to both. Yeah. I need to follow
that
up.
That is
on
the
that.
Only option with that.
Yeah, you're in trouble. Let's see. Chantel says, I can't freaking schedule the farrier. The times that he can do won't work for me and vice versa. And my horse doesn't need shoes and I'm about to call a different person. You do what you got to do, girl. That is a first world problem. My farrier won't come out on time. Caroline says, my mare needs a cob size fly mask for the head, but a horse size for the ears. What, you got a donkey? Get a cob size donkey fly mask. Problem solved. I'm here to help. Avery says, I finally, I love talking bras. You guys can talk bras all day. I'm super happy. Avery says, I finally found a sports bra that keeps the girls strapped down while sitting the trot. Yay! But it's overkill for teaching lessons. So like I have to adjust the straps and like loosen things up and then tighten them and loosen them up and then tighten them. It's like such a congratulations on
I am not
you.
Saying a word.
Can I just tell you that in kickboxing, girls, this is for girls, in kickboxing, the first 6 minutes of kickboxing is jumping rope.
Well,
think about that
during
for a
kickboxing
minute.
Don't just strap them down good anyway. I mean,
I do, but there is no amount of strapping down when you're premenstrual and you are having your girls bounce around. Like, I'll just do the elliptical. I'm fine.
Is it like we, you know, guys wear cups during kickboxing? Are the girls wearing really, really padded bras?
Oh, dude, you got to like, you might as well put some baling twine around these puppies and knock them down. And now, mine aren't big. Okay, y'all that have boobs are. I am like. Sometimes, most of the time, I'm jealous. Let me be real. But the rest of the time, I'm like, oh, God.
Riding and kickboxing, not jealous.
No, not jealous for those things. But otherwise, you're really pretty.
On the dance floor, jealous.
Yeah, exactly. When I'm looking at you, any other time of your life, I'm jealous. Cynthia says, I have been invited to do a demonstration dressage freestyle ride at a breed show with my hard horse. But it's so hard to choose the perfect music. Oh my God. Hello. Did I not mention I was doing a freestyle and I cannot figure out what music I need music submissions for my freestyle. I can't tell you what I'm doing because I don't want to ruin it because Glenn has a blabbermouth, but I would like to point out that I need music too.
She hasn't told me yet either. So
that's what I'm saying.
It's
going
to be
kind
of hard to recommend music if we don't have an idea of what
I know.
Genre.
I have spoken with a few listeners and friends about what I'm doing, and that's it. I will not tell Glenn on the air because I can't tell Glenn, period. Lisa says that two of the girls who board their horses at my place are away. So, like, now I have five amazing horses to ride. Carrie, I want to punch you in the face. I am starting to save up for a new horse now that my vacation to Europe has been paid off. But I also want new boots and a tattoo with this like super cute saddle pad. And it's just not fair. I would really be a really good rich person. Yeah, me too. I'm sorry. You paid off your vacation and you're saving it for a horse. Oh, God. We are so first world. Lorene says, my husband bought me a $70 jug of really good fly spray for all the stupid flies we have this year.
How big was it?
But my horse is allergic to it. Oh, dude. That blows.
That's a 12-gallon jug of fly spray right there.
It is. You might as well hook that on the back of your
tractor barrel.
Spray the fields. No, I actually bought that Ecoderm. The stuff you said smells really, really bad. You know, what's that? Is it Ecoderm?
Yes.
Yes. It's amazing fly spray and it works really good, but Drax will totally sneeze for like 4 hours, even if I'm spraying it in the open. So I had to buy him the other eco one, which smells a lot better, but oh my God, that stuff is so expensive. So baby Drax, who also has a stone bruise, who's constantly lame and hurt. Oh, he doesn't like my fly spray.
I have a first world problem. We just had five. This is a real world problem. We just had 5 days of rain, 10 inches of rain here in Ocala. Never stopped. We are going to have mosquitoes tomorrow that you've never seen before.
Oh, tonight.
It's going to hatch.
You are screwed.
We're going to have the biggest hatch ever.
Get the fly sheets out. Two more. Rachel says, I can't buy the new tractor because I need the money in the bank to close on my new house. One thing at a time, girl. Oh, by the way, my first world equestrian problem, and it's more of a first world chicken problem, is that you remember I bought all these baby chicks online?
Yes. Are they all roosters? Every one of them?
I was supposed to get 20, and then and the member Lucas came in, and he was like, Mom, we counted 27.
That's right. You got
remember
extras.
Remember that? Yeah. Seven roosters.
Oh, my God.
It's like they were like, here's your 20 chickens, and here's a bonus seven roosters.
How loud are they in the morning?
Well, they're still tiny, so they sound like they're dying. They're like,
And I'm guessing that the roosters are going to find new homes before they get adults.
You know, I've already posted them on the Oklahoma Farm Swap Meet page and on the Oklahoma Geese and Waterfowl and Chicken page. And, you know, so far,
nobody wants any roosters. But are in Oklahoma. When they get bigger and fatter, you'll have people want to take them off your hands.
Well, the problem is most of them are bantams. So they're like the little ones.
Tiny little ones.
Nobody wants those.
Not even to eat.
Not even to eat. Like, what's the point? By the way, April, our listener, she's probably driving south right now. She stayed in Norman last night, but she got in super late. And I messaged her and I was like, hey, you have a farm. Do you want a dog or some roosters? So any minute now, I'm expecting her to drive up with her car with a box for the roosters and the dog. I'm sure it's going to happen anytime. And finally, Samantha, this is a real problem. She says the heat index is stupid high, so I can't go ride. So I had to do housework instead. You know what? Just clean
the
barn.
That's a real problem.
Just clean the barn. That's a real problem. That sucks. Yeah, I get it. It sucks. So yeah, there you go. Equestrian first world problems straight from the horse owner's mouth.
There you go.
You're welcome.
Well, I was at Podcast Movement along with Jemmy over the last couple of days. We were there for 4 days, and it was actually in Orlando this year, so it was close to both of us. And, you know, when I started going to these 5-6 years ago now, they started having these, there was probably 200 people there. There was 3,000 people at this conference. It was huge, and a huge conference hall. And I got to tell you a couple of things that I think the listeners will find interesting, and you will too. I didn't realize how much of a pioneer Horse Radio Network was. When we started out 11 years ago, the percentage of women in podcasting was 10%. This year, they released some stats, 40% of the attendees were women.
Girl power!
Yeah. When Jemmy went for the first time, there were like 3 black people. And people of color this time, there were probably 20% of the audience there. So she didn't feel so left out this time.
I can't yell black power, can I?
Yeah.
No, I can't do that.
No, we're not black. She could, but we can't.
We can. So just know in my head, I'm saluting everybody of color and women. And and you white guys. Good job. You're all involved. We're all in it together.
If we take a look at the Horse Radio Network, it's all been women except for me and Philip. So we're like 30 hosts and they're all women except for me. We've always been in the minority. One of the interesting things, you used to work in radio for 10 years. New listeners may not know that. You worked in radio for 10 years in Atlanta.
Over 10 years. Yeah. 12 years. Yeah, I went from an intern to a traffic reporter to hosting my own morning show.
So top 40 radio, big time.
And top 40 country, alternative rock, sports talk, all of them.
Was that in the days when the radio stations were owned independently before they all got bought up?
Yes. The one of the most amazing places I worked was, it was a Q100 and 99X, and they were owned together by the same company. And you walked around and there were like little refrigerators through the, there was like a circle in the top, the floor. And you walk around, there was like beer fridges. So you could get a beer while you were on the air. I mean, it was just this awesome company. It was hilarious. And this is not that long ago. And then we were bought out by the, I don't know, one of the worst companies in radio, who immediately fired me and then immediately realized that they needed me and hired me back to do twice as much. And they were like, but we can't give you any benefits. And I was like, well, then I'm not coming back.
I could probably guess which one of those companies it was.
You know, it's probably not the one you're thinking of, but it is the second one of those. And then I went to work for the other one that you're thinking of, and that was just as terrible. So
and one of them isn't doing so well. So there's that.
Listen, all you people with iHeartRadio apps, delete that app. Okay. Thank you very much.
They are getting big time into, they were there. They are getting big time into podcasting. One of the things when I,
Cumulus.
4 years ago, radio started figuring out podcasting might actually be a thing that they need to pay attention to.
I want to see one of my bosses at one of these conferences and be like,
they weren't really into it. I mean, they would send people and the reps they would send, I'm talking the big companies, the iHearts and the Entercoms and all of those, you know, the big companies, Cumulus and
iHeart
Clear Channel.
Cumulus and Clear. And yeah. Then I've worked for Cumulus and Clear Channel, but I was first went to like a privately owned sports talk station. That was awesome. It was a bunch of owned by a bunch of like,
yeah, there
Jewish
are no
and Italian
privately
guys.
Owned radio stations.
Fantastic.
Anymore.
No, it's out of business now. Yeah. And then I went to work for Susquehanna, which was like this small company, and then Cumulus bought it out. And then anytime a company buys out another company, everybody gets fired. Then
it was amazing. They were all there. Their attitude toward podcasts from the radio side has changed 1,000%. They were all there. They realized they need to be in podcasts big time. They're not quite sure how to do it. I went to a lot of the sessions where they were blatantly honest about the struggles they've had. They all expect to make the kind of money that they do in radio, which ain't happening. So it was interesting to see the change. You would have loved to see the change from 4 years ago to now. And then when I went to the radio sessions, there was a whole track just for radio people. And I sat in a lot of those just because I was interested. I think you would have thrown up in your mouth a couple times hearing them talk, because the executives for radio, they talk and they say nothing. I got done listening to them and I had no idea what they said. It was amazing.
They like to hear themselves talk.
Oh my God. So they are getting serious about it now, and they're actually looking for help now from podcasters that have been around a long time, which was interesting too. We actually had a couple of meetings with a couple of the networks out there. So it was that was interesting. That was a big change from radio. ABC Radio was there in force. They had banners everywhere. They bought a sponsorship and they probably had 50 people there. They were there in force. They were all over the place.
I never worked for them, so they're okay.
They're okay. One of the interesting things is, and this applies to the listeners, when we did our survey of how people found us with the auditors, and we had a couple hundred responses, 50% of them were they searched on a podcast app for horses, and we came up to the top. And that's how they found us. Horses in the Morning especially. So that's how they found us. Well, apparently the way people are finding podcasts is changing a lot. And word of mouth now is the number one way, according to surveys, that people are finding new podcasts. And that makes sense because there's so many podcasts. There's 140,000 active podcasts right now. So there's just a lot of clutter. And there are a lot more new horse podcasts coming out. So go out and tell all your friends about us. Go out and tell them about Horses in the Morning. Tell them they have to listen. They're probably looking for a podcast.
Write reviews, too. Give us some good reviews.
Yeah, go on to your podcast player. Most podcast players have a way to do reviews. You know, we all know iTunes does, but most podcast players now have a way to do that. There's more and more players that are starting up, podcast players. There was vendors left and right, all kinds of new players with all kinds of new twists. So I think we're going to see a lot of changes in how you listen to the shows. But the demographics are changing. When Jamie and I first started out, the people that could figure out how to listen were in the 35 to 55 year old range. And it was mostly people listening on their computers. And because back then, you had to download it to your iPod. So you could, there were no iPhones, there were no smartphones. You had to download it to your iPod and then listen to it. It was a several step process. So that's, of course, changed. So now the demo is changing, and it's also changing for us. Right now, we have a lot more younger. And if you notice the auditors, we're getting a lot more younger auditors than we ever had in the past. So that's demo is changing across the board. One of the other things, too, that was interesting, one of the things that's driven me crazy, and you and I have talked about it off air, is all the gurus are podcasting who, by the way, a lot of these podcasting gurus have put out like 10 episodes, and now they're experts, have always said, and I have heard this 1,000 times, your show shouldn't be more than 20 minutes because that's the average length of drive to work. No show should be over 20 minutes. Well, they did a study on the 100 most popular podcasts in the world by downloads, and they average 56 minutes in length. So, that, and we've always said our most popular show is an hour and a half every day, 5 days a week. Yeah, so, you know, it's so that went out the window. I think they pretty much shot that one down, finally, because that's been said over and over and over again. And it's so there was a lot of interesting things, a lot of interesting stats. The number of people now listening to podcasts by the latest survey is 90 million in the United States.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny. When I got this job, I was like, oh, I'm going to host a podcast. And people are like, what's a podcast? By the way, do you know why we call him Glenn the Geek now? Just so you guys know, a little insight. That's why. Yeah. Because he loves to be a geek. Yeah, but no, I mean, nobody was like, I mean, I posted, I remember the memory came up not too long ago. I'm like, I'm back in radio. I got hired. And my radio friends are all like, great. What station? I'm like, it's a podcast. They're like, huh? What?
You go to your computer and you go to this website and you hit the play button.
Good luck with your broke-ass podcasting existence.
So here we are all these years later. We're still here. Podcasting has finally caught up to us and is growing. And doing very well. So it'll be interesting to see what changes. And by the way, we were the only ones doing a live show, especially in the horse world.
I think I don't know many that do live shows.
I was asking around, and best we can tell, we are in the, there's like 6 or 7 other shows, daily shows, that have lasted as long as we have. So, and that's not just in the horse world, but anywhere. So we're probably in the top 5 now of daily shows as far as length of time that we've been consistently producing every day, every week. And so we're talking 5 in the world that have done that.
Yeah, there's a lot of podcasts that you go on and look. Like my friend Christian from Sugarland, he was like all proud of, he did a podcast. He's like, I'm a podcaster now. And he has 8 episodes. And they stopped 2 years ago.
He quit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I saw him and I'm like, why have you not done any more podcasts? He's like, oh, we're just taking a break. Yeah. Like a 2-year break?
That's what happens. That's called, by the way, there's a term for that. It's called pod fading. It's called pod fading.
You a fader.
Because what happens, the reason they call it pod fading is they'll do, and this has happened in the horse world, I've seen some new horse podcasts do the same thing now, is they'll do 6 or 7 episodes, by the way, that's the average before they quit. They do 6 or 7 episodes, and then they'll say, well, I'll just take a week off. And then it turns into 2 years. So, and they have every intention of going back and doing it again. But people realize it's not easy. That's what happens. It looks easy. Maybe we make it sound easy, but, you know, there's some work involved, too. So it was very interesting. I think you would have been proud. You would have been proud to be there. And women are starting to represent, finally. I'd like to say I helped that by times 30.
Because you hired 30 women. Yeah. You're just a glutton for punishment is what you are.
You know, we were talking about that dinner. All the auditors are going to laugh at this. We were talking about that at dinner. I basically have 30 type A co-hosts.
I don't think I'm type A.
Oh, you're type A plus. What are you talking about?
Type A is super organized in the anal
gland. No. Type A is just forceful, and they know things, and they're just tough.
Oh, well, I might be all that.
That's type A.
Oh, okay. A personality type characterized by ambition, high energy, and yes. competitiveness.
Yes.
Oh, and thought to be susceptible to stress and heart disease.
Yes.
Okay.
I think you are the description of type A.
I don't think that that should be talked down upon, though. I think that we should celebrate.
Yeah, but type A women especially are a little difficult sometimes for men to deal with. And I got 30 of them, so... There we go.
That's your fault. That's your problem.
Apparently, I'm attracted to type A women. That's what we determined at dinner the other night.
Are you crazy? You're hired.
All right. Why don't we get to our tip on Wednesday? You want to do that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We have a training question. It comes from Jenna. And Jenna, this is going to be short and sweet. She says, JB, can you go over the basics of teaching a horse to ground drive? I have a coach that will come out to help, but it's $75 a pop. So I thought I could cover the easy stuff on my own. My filly's two. She's worn a surcingle and is good with ropes being draped all over her. So you'll pay her $75 a pop, but you want me to tell you for free. That's cool. That's fine. So the quick and easy answer is, MontyRobertsUniversity.com. I mean, he goes over all of it so incredibly well. It's not $75. So you could get a free day pass and just go on and watch those videos and check them out and see. That is the best way, because there's a little bit of I would first of all suggest that you start in a round pen, because then the horse is not going to run away and take you water skiing. But there's an idea of where you need to be with your body. If you get in front of the horse and it turns the wrong way or turns towards you, like you're too far away and it turned towards you, then the lines are wrapped around.
Which it will.
Which it will. It happens. You know what? Every horse is. And then you have to learn how to like flick the line over the. Anyway, it's pretty. It's just muscle memory. It's not complicated. And if your horse can have all of the lines around her and all of that, the surcingle, and she can have that on, all of that is pretty easy. You know, it seems like the hard work is done. So you just need to attach the lines. Watch these videos, because it'll tell you how to step away and flick the line over the butt and kind of send them forward. And hopefully you have an idea of how to drive her in the round pen with using your body, and how, because that's important too, because if you're telling them the wrong way to go, they're going to turn and you've got lines attached and you're going to yank them in the mouth. So I would say a coach is a fantastic idea, but if you want to get the basics and the easy stuff first, I would say go to Monty Roberts University, watch some videos on join up, and then watch the tacking procedures, and then watch the long lining videos. That is your homework. And then you can have somebody out and do some more advanced maneuvers, but this will give you a very, very, very good foundation. And that is what I say. I'm going to defer you to the master.
And I figured out how to do it. See, we do that in driving. They ground drive first. So we spend a lot of time ground driving them, actually. So I learned that from Jennifer. But God, doing that without a coach, I don't know. Or without instruction.
And then you just make everything incrementally more challenging. So you're in the round pen and you can do, you know, drive one direction, do an outside turn, go the other way. Then you can do figure eights in the arena. You can stop, back up, turn. All of these things are the things babies are learning right now. And then you open the round pen door and you drive them out of the round pen and then circle around the round pen and walk back in and then go further away and maybe, you know, into the arena, and just make driving just kind of part of their day. Actually, when I was learning to ground drive, because the lines in your hand, you know, you can get a little confused. Denise was the head instructor at Monty's, and she's like, here's what you're going to do. I'm like, okay. So you're going to ground drive all of your horses when you go turn them out, drive them out to the pasture, unclip them and let them go. So I just put the lines on and would drive them and clip it to the halter and try to keep them off the ground. You know, no surcingle or anything. Drive them out there. Stop. Okay. Go around, unclip them, take the halter off. Peace. You know? And so it really taught me a lot about holding the lines and not messing up and not letting them get stepped on and stuff. But yeah, check it out online, MontyRobertsUniversity.com. And this is not a paid advertisement. and check it out. And then you'll be a little more advanced. You might not even need a coach. Who knows?
What did you learn today?
Oh, goodness. I learned a little bit about all of our new auditors. Thank you guys all so much for becoming part of the family. I learned, as usual, on Mondays that we have a lot of really sad listeners that have a lot of problems. Very sad. And I learned that, not that I learned this, I probably already knew it, but it was reinstated that endurance riders are crazier than eventers.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I learned today. And that Mustangs can do it, but yours can't. So
yeah,
I know. Yeah.
I have the solo one Mustang who would rather die in a desert by himself.
Yes. So that's what I learned today. I did learn that. I learned that Karen is so passionate about endurance. I don't know if you heard her passion coming out. She loves doing this stuff.
She's so passionate. I didn't even understand what she was talking about half the time.
Well, our listeners will, because they actually listen to the endurance episode once
exactly.
a month. So. Well, and I did want to remind the new auditors that they can go onto the auditor room, and they can find that by searching for HRN auditors and ask to join, and we will let you into the craziness that is the auditor room.
Perfect.
So you can do that today as well. Tomorrow is the Certified Horsemanship Association, and then later in the week, we have Horse Husbands coming up. We have a lot of things for you. So that's coming up. We have a full week. Jamie will be here Wednesday and Friday, right?
Tomorrow, school starts too for us.
Yay! And you'll be here Wednesday, Friday?
I should be.
I get to do Lord really bad ads. It's been a month since I did really bad ads. It's been a long time. So I hope that Debbie gets into it, though. She probably did a great job.
She did a great job. Yeah.
Well, thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Bay Neuter Guild.
Hey, the live feed worked. It stayed up.
Did people actually, are people listening?
I guess. I got some messages that it was working.
Okay, perfect. Hi, Ellen. Hi, Stephanie.